Welcome to yet another episode of the Gen X Guys. This is actually episode 20. Apparently.
20. Holy crap. I know. Dedicated this long. We usually lose interest way earlier than that.
Well, considering we've taken quite a few breaks here in the last few weeks.
Not breaks. I mean, it's just real life for us, you know.
That's true.
Our one listener at most is not going to pay, you know, the bills. So,
dude, it's like five. Be a little bit more respectful. Yeah. No, I think on average we get about five.
Oh, okay.
Maybe there's more and the reporting's off, but at least
let's go with that. There's an extra zero there somewhere. We're just fucking not seeing it.
There's a break in the reporting. It should be 5,000, not five, but you know, it's fine.
Yeah, there you go.
Dude, so how you been? Yeah. How things going?
Huh? Yeah, you know, same old.
Enjoying life? Work's good for you?
No, work sucks, but it's
okay. Work. Great.
It actually doesn't suck. It's just work, you know. I'd just rather them give me the money for free and not actually expect anything out of me.
I think that's the ideal goal.
Isn't for it, though?
Just
you always think of Fight Club?
Oh,
you know, when he was able to bribe his boss, or not bribe, blackmail his boss. He was giving him basically all that, you know, for his full salary, flight vouchers and everything for not coming in.
Yeah, well, I gotta find a way to get him into a club that you control and own.
And then being able to blackmail my boss. Blackmail,
which is basically what it was, yeah. Fuck. It's good stuff.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
I don't know.
How's everything out there? How's the weather out there for you?
Yeah, so Las Vegas weather's starting to pick up. Today we'll probably hit high 70s. A little bit of wind picking up, not too bad. Next week we'll hit 90s.
There you go. There's the Vegas. It just started hitting the 80s over here.
Well, we'll eventually hit the hundreds. Oh, yeah. Probably end of month, early June is usually when it happens. So
right.
We should be fine. It will be fine. And we got lots of things.
Yeah, you'll be fine. You'll stay indoors and go out at 7 a.m. and you'll be okay.
You mean 6 a.m., dude? 7 a.m. Jesus.
Yeah.
You want me to be in the sun?
I'm sorry. I meant get back home by 7 a.m.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's probably more realistic.
Exactly. Walking the dog. That's my life. Early morning.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can't have the dog walk out in that. They don't, unless you put shoes on it. Actually, I'm sure they have. I know they have the shoes for snow. I'm sure they have something for hot weather as well. You don't want to burn the crap out of your dog's feet.
They do. They have little booties. The same ones you use for snow, you can use for walks. It's just, for him, so I have a little corgi, for those who don't know, out of the five we have, that
maybe six
is hard. It's hard because they don't really have like bend points in their paws to really strap it around.
Oh,
they're more, you know, they got little legs, like they're not very long. So he'll be walking, then the boot will start sliding down, and it's like half off,
shaking it,
angled sideways on his paw, and then eventually just comes off. So don't even bother.
They're not really that useful.
No, definitely not.
All right, so 6 a.m.
Yeah,
6 a.m. for the walks.
Pretty much early enough. Where it's still, the sun's already up, or at least coming up, and it's more shade, so that's good. And when it hits 100, that's the best time, because then it's like 95, 96 at 6 a.m., and perfect weather. It actually isn't bad. I don't
know. You know, it's actually not that bad. It's really when the sun is just bearing down on you that it gets bad. Because at that point, of course, you live out there. You know how it is. But when the sun reflects off the concrete, That's where it really, like, I notice it. Like, when you're going in a parking lot, you get out of the car and you go from the parking lot to the store midday. Those can be a little, I know you know that, so.
Nice. Yeah. Well, so the weather's coming up. I'm sure in the Bay it's the usual weather, where there's weeks it just suddenly is cold, and then
that's how last week was.
Nice weather.
It was like mid-70s, and then all of a sudden we got rain over the weekend. And then yesterday it was actually like mid 80s. So actually it was nice. It was a little bit, I think my body, you know, it was kind of like a shock because it went from 60s to 80s in like one day. So, but you know, it's just what it is.
Well, but, yeah, it seems like Vegas. You go outside, it's 100 degrees. You go into a casino, it's 75.
Yeah.
It's a massive change.
Nice little head cold starts hitting you because of the change. Those are always fun. It's not just casino, it's anywhere you go in Vegas. True.
Even my house, it's the same thing. I put it to a certain level and I go outside, it's friggin' hot. Come in, it's extremely cool.
20 degree change. Yeah, I, you know what? What I always remember when we talk about that was learning that in an RV, and we had an older RV, so we had a 1992 Class A RV. Finding out that, and maybe the newer ones are different, but that the AC units can really only cool an RV down by 20 degrees compared to the outside temperature. So if it was 90 out, yeah, it can cool it down to 70. But the problem is when we were traveling that one year, it was like 115 out, and the inside of the RV was still like 90.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it just, the AC was actually useless because we had to have the windows open because it was just too hot in there. It just wasn't cooling it down enough. And again, maybe it was just because it was an older RV, and I know that, you know, did have like the air conditioning wasn't that efficient, but yeah, I always think about that when you talk about like the temperature change where I'm like, yeah, I remember that RV trip that we had that was, and then we got the flat in it. That was even funner.
It's a fantastic trip.
Yeah, that was one of those trips where, yeah.
Is that basically the trigger point for when you said, you know what, we're probably going to sell this thing?
No, I don't know. We still did the Southwest Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico trip, Nevada. We did that whole thing of going to that 4 points spot that's actually not exactly where it's supposed to be. You know, where Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, and Colorado supposedly come together at a certain point where that's actually not the point. But yeah, we did that trip. That was kind of the trip that really just broke me. Yeah, that
was because of the RV, or just broke you as a trip in general, taking those type of trips?
With that, RVs are awesome. I mean, I think we had a lot of great memories. We loved it. The problem is buying an RV and not knowing what to look for, like the issues with it, was the big mistake. Like kind of going into it and not really knowing was just constantly working on things. You know, if you have the ability to, and you have the knowledge, like if it was your dad doing it, right, it would be one of those things. But kind of going into a blind and kind of trying to have to figure out things as they were breaking. Like there was one part where we were on Route 66, and I think we were still in Arizona. I don't remember what part it was, but I had to walk to an auto parts store. It was like an hour, 15-minute walk to an auto parts store.
Jesus.
Got it. And then I had to work on it while everybody else was having fun. But, of course, you know, being the dad, it was just, I got this. I, you know, did what we had to do. But, no, that trip, we were driving back from Vegas that night, and it was, again, 115, and I got a flat. And that was, like, at 11 p.m.
Okay, so it's probably weekend. Like 107 at that point.
Right. 4th of July weekend, we had, what, like 11 people on that RV?
Jesus.
Yeah, maybe not 11, maybe like 9, but still. And couldn't get, like, the AAA or whatever that came out, even though they were for truck. The guy was just, he didn't know what he was doing or whatever the case was, but we also couldn't find a hotel that night. There was no hotels. They were all booked up. And so we literally slept in, like, 9 of us. Including my in-laws, slept in an RV on the side of the road in Las Vegas.
Nice. Overnight.
Of course, I didn't sleep because, you know, I was just... And then finding out that what it actually broke was the valve stem.
Oh, okay.
The rubber valve stem had blown. So the tire didn't blow, but it was on the inside tire of the dualies, and the stem had blown. So the guy replaced it and goes, you know, for an extra $40, I'll replace all the valve stems with metal ones. So, of course, I paid it, and we went on.
Yeah, but why take the chance? If you're going to replace one, replace them all.
Yeah. But, yeah, that drive home was nasty because not only the weather, but, you know, sleeping in an RV, nobody's really smelled all that great. Like, yeah, you can, like, just smell, you know, the funk coming off you. But
yeah, that's when you have to have a lot of Lysol. The breeze, dude. Shit out of that thing.
I remember when we got
home. Keep spraying that shit. It would have helped.
It would have just been continuously by the window, just spraying it.
Just 20 cans lined up. That's all you need.
It's like, or have it like those ones that when you go into the bathrooms, when somebody walks in, it goes,
yeah. Yeah. It just sprays instantly. Right in their face, too. There you go. Get them.
I remember when my brother-in-law, when he came to pick up his family, when we got back, like the door opened, he's like, he was able to smell what we went through. Let's just put it that way.
Nice. Yeah, well, good. Then you should have locked him up in there for like an hour so he could really experience it.
I should have locked him in there with me. Give him a big hug.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Yeah, it's funny we bring up the RV because I was recently just scrolling through some stuff like cars and whatnot, local markets, those sort of things.
Right.
I saw one for $50,000, a 2008. I'm like, oh, it's got one of those extender walls that come out when you're parked. It kind of expands it a little bit more. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that would be pretty interesting. And then I realized, as much as I'd love to do an RV and take one out, probably wouldn't want to own one. Because then I just have to store it somewhere because it's not going to stay here.
Right.
So it has to be a storage fee, which isn't that dramatic, but still, it's a storage fee.
We, like, I remember during the pandemic, we were trying to consider what we wanted to do. Like, especially with, you know, with the age of our kids and everything, everybody getting older, type of trips we're taking are different now. It's not just that. It's like, especially for you, you have to store it indoors. Or you have to make sure you have a really good cover or else it's just going to beat the shit out of the seals. And that's one of the things that happened to ours.
Right.
Was that it just started leaking. Even though I thought I kept up on it, it's just, you know, you have all these moving parts and everything. But yeah, and then the thing is, we kind of calculated that even if we were to buy one, like, and we were going to look for one like in the $50,000 to $80,000 range. There's a monthly, then there's the insurance. Then, like, okay, if we get a smaller one, we can store it here. If not, we got to pay for the storage. Then we're kind of looking at it and like, all right, if it's $800, you know, $600 to $800 a month, well, over a year, that's, you know, coming on $10,000, right? Depending upon, you know, but approximately. Then with all the miscellaneous costs, with gas, with, you know, just the general maintenance, the upkeep and everything, it's going to be, you know, I think we were saying like between 12 to 14 a year just to have it. Mm. And it's kind of like, well, are there other trips we'd want to do besides that? Because if we kind of looked at it like if we had an RV, that's the trips we're going to be taking, our RV trips.
Right.
And for us, that was before my wife had really started traveling internationally. And once she went on the first trip, yeah, it was not going to happen. She was
there. You just need to move out there, dude. I don't know why you keep messing around. Your kids are old enough now.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
We also have other responsibilities. No, you're right. But we also have other responsibilities.
Do you?
Yes, we do. Yes. Yes, we do.
I know. I'm kidding.
I know you do. And I know that you are. Yeah. With our in-laws and everything, it's just not.
Well, yeah, of course. Bad. And that all makes sense, too. Yeah. So I know why you guys aren't going. Yeah. But so it was funny when you mentioned the RV. It always takes me back to the one trip I had back in like 82. When we were going to Montana, I think I told you this one before, right?
Yeah.
There were 11 of us in that one, if I remember correctly, because it was my mom and my siblings, my grandmother, my uncle who owned it and was driving it, and then my other aunt and my cousins. And so there were about 11 of us. That was a cool trip, though. I mean, as many of us that were in there, it was still enjoyable, to your point. Like, those can be fun trips.
So you were like 10, 11 years old?
Yeah, I was like 11. 82. Yeah, 11 or so. So it was a fun trip. It was after Mount St. Helens had erupted.
Mm.
So actually,
it's called the aftermath.
Mount St. Helens erupted in 80, didn't it?
Yeah.
Was it 80?
Yeah, but you would still see the aftermath even 2 years later.
Well, no, this was not too far after. So maybe it was. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Fuck, I'm old. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Either way,
somewhere around that time, in the
early 80s, we went on a motorhome trip and we went to Montana.
Yeah.
And so it was cool. We went up to Montana. Stopped in Idaho. You know, you hit all the little RV parks along the way to stay each night. We did a hotel maybe once or twice, but generally we stayed in the RV. We spent the nights in there. But we went to the places where you'd hook them up for the night. And
right.
You'd have swimming pools and all that stuff. So it was a fun trip. So I enjoyed it. And that's why I've always kind of wanted to do it again. It's just because I enjoyed that trip myself. But now my kids are all grown. If I do it, it'd be more
for your
wife and I. And then...
The thing about
get that friggin' Cruise America one in that case, but it's just not the same.
That's right, it's not yours. It's also they're pretty stripped down and bare bones, and
right.
They're fine if you want to experience. Like that's what we did. Our first one we did was Cruise America, and I think the thing that we got out of it, especially when the kids were younger, it was. I'm not into trailers. I think part of the experience of being in the RV was being in the RV, and like doing the trailers, you're driving in your car, so it's almost like driving. it didn't give us a full experience, but I think because we tried both. We did the Cruise America Class C and then the Cruise America trailer. And the trailer just was, but because like one of the cool things was being in the RV was, and we took out the captain's chairs and I put an extra bench in. So we had two benches instead of a bench and two captain's chairs. So, but like, you know, the kids were just there playing their games, watching something. Like I put a TV in to be able to watch movies. And so,
oh, right, yeah.
The best part about being in an RV was the vacation started as soon as you left home and they were comfortable. That was a bigger difference.
True. Yeah,
they were comfortable. And then, of course, you know, just the food thing. Whenever anybody had to go to the bathroom or wanted to eat, you just pulled over. And, like, you know, I jokingly, nobody, you know, cancel or say shit. But, like, it was always funny because my wife would act like a stewardess.
Right.
Because, you know, she would get up and, like, get something to drink or, oh, do you want something to eat? And I'm like, yeah, you know, can I just get a snack or something like that? And she would just go back, grab it from the kitchen area and bring it over. You know, it was just nice. But it was easy because it made it so that, you know how it is when we drive cars. We speed like hell because we want to get from point A to point B now. But with RVs, you just don't worry about that as much because it's part of the trip.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the concept. You're literally just taking a road trip. So I'm not trying to get to another state quickly.
Yeah. It's funny. Actually, something I brought up, I was talking to my younger brother because we both did it with my grandmother. And we took Greyhound back in...
Oh,
this
right.
is probably the late 70s. But I still have no idea how in the hell we survived a three-day drive in a bus with nothing to do.
Well, there were stops. There were stops along the way. The Greyhound stops,
after
right?
After like 4 or 5 hours. But what... I'm like, what the fuck did we do? How did we survive 3 days with nothing? Like, nothing. Yeah. Like, with just... I couldn't read on buses. So it wasn't like I could read. It was just... You sat there, did nothing.
That's a good point. I'm trying to think you're right, because when we take trips to Montana or anywhere else, I mean, during the 80s, it's not like there was anything. I mean, Game Boy itself, even if you want to talk about the first real handhelds, wasn't until like 88.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, yeah, you're right. That's a good point. What the hell did we do for all those hours?
It's just one of those things that you don't think. I mean, we know what we did. Nothing.
Board games. Like, for the RV, we'd play board games. For you, on a bus.
On a bus with my grandmother. What the fuck did I do? We just sat there.
Crosswords. Come on. You know you did crosswords.
I can't read on buses. I get motion sickness.
She could ask you questions. Call you an idiot for not knowing them.
Yeah, I probably might have what happened, but yeah. those bus stops were cool, though. They always had those, like, I think we talked about this before. I had those little TVs that you put quarters in.
Oh, yeah.
Well, of course, my grandmother didn't give me quarters for them, but I would wait for people to get up and leave. You know, and hopefully it had a little bit of time on it.
Nice.
Never did.
No.
Walking around vending machines looking for spare change.
Yes, that's true. All of us did that.
Remember that?
Telephone booths.
Everything.
The pay phones, always putting it, doing the double tap-tap and the coin return to see if something would drop. Sometimes it would, which was always amazing.
It would?
So you can get some free change and then go to the arcade with it from there.
Exactly. I mean, I remember every place I went to, I would be able to find some change at any of those stops that we would go to.
It was almost natural. Your point. Time. Yeah. Like, even whether it's that or any trip back 70s, 80s, not really the 90s. I think 90s is when cell phones started to roll out. But we were like on a mass scale. Not that rich who had the cell phones in the 80s. That's funny you bring that up because that's always something I'd go and do too.
It just,
like, dude, there's got to be quarters in here.
Oh, yeah. You just would always hope. And again, at those places, there would be like 20 different vending machines and a big bank of phone booths.
Yeah.
You know, or like, you remember those? Like, you know, there'd be like 12, especially at those places, there'd be like 12, you know, pay phones in a row.
Yeah. Just like the airport used to be. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was just a different experience that, you know, nowadays it's like you don't see those anymore. You don't even really see vending machines anymore.
Vending machines, you still do.
You do, but not that. I think it felt, maybe it's just as a kid I noticed it more, but it felt like there were more.
Maybe, yeah.
I'm also thinking of payphones too.
Well, definitely the payphones are gone.
Yeah.
Like, they still exist very rarely, mostly for
I don't know why.
Just for purposes of history.
Nobody got rid of it. Yeah. They were too lazy to get rid of it.
Well, no, it's like Disney World, for example, in Epcot. When you go to the world of England, basically, or the country of England,
they have
one of those old red booths, right? Yeah. So there you go. Like, there's an example of where. So it is. It's more about historical purposes than anything else. It's not practically for use.
Well, come on.
No one under the age of like 35 probably knows a rotary phone.
Well, I was going to say rotary. Have you ever seen those things where they try to have Gen Zs figure out how to use a rotary phone?
Oh, yeah, I've seen
that. It's one of those things where people think.
But it's also realistic to understand. Yeah, they probably don't know what the fuck this thing does.
Why would you? It's not intuitive.
No.
But it's like people would say common sense. It's like, no, it's not common sense. It's just, it was ingrained in us. I mean, we had them.
Yeah.
So we had to know how to use them.
Well, it's just like I was talking to one of my kids recently about like gas stations. Like filling up the gas, right? Like it's common sense. Okay, whatever. There's people who still use the diesel and put it into their car, not paying attention at all. So it's not that common sense. Yeah. But there's like some states where it's against. It's
Oregon. I think Oregon.
Oregon, right? Exactly, is an example of where you're not allowed to pump your gas. Yeah. Like it's not allowed. So when they move out and they've never done it their whole life, it's not as simple as people think. It is to some degree. You think it would be. But it's not if you've never done it. Like the first time you try anything new that you've never done before, logically you think people figure it out, and they probably do. But you can't be surprised when someone struggles the first time. Now, if they're still struggling after like a year, that's something else altogether. Yeah.
Well, I think people always convolute, common sense for like life skills or whatever. Because common sense is there's a flame, you touch it, you burn yourself. And then you touch it again, thinking it's going to be different. The common sense is things like that. But
although
you're pumping gas,
if you're testing your endurance, it's understandable. That's more stupidity. Though. That's stupidity.
But if you wonder why did you get burned again, that's a different story. But yeah, people always say, "Oh, that's common sense." Like you said, pumping gas is common sense. No, it's actually not. It's something that you learn.
Right. People who still don't understand the difference between diesel and regular gas lines, that's still true today. And those are people who fill up their gas. They just don't have the common sense, to understand that there's a difference between the two. What type of gas do I have? And they just, maybe they don't think that deep. But it's interesting because now we're talking about like tech that back in the 70s, 80s and how people would, let's talk about from a gaming standpoint. Today's games, right, are very intense, very... have so many configurations, so many buttons, whether it's on PC, whether it's on these consoles nowadays, got controllers that have like 15 to 20 configurations, the button movements that you can do for a game like Madden, where you're really just, I just want to pass and run, or I just want to tackle and that's it.
What was one of the first games then what is probably one of the first games that you remember that hit you like, holy shit, this has a lot of stuff to it, or this is just not a get in and start playing?
It'd probably be Madden, because that was the first one where they started using multiple button configurations, mostly more for initially picking plays, but then also character selection, audible. I mean, this was just when they moved from the Atari 2600, one button, right? That's all it was. Now, ColecoVision and Television had the little like pads and whatnot for numbers.
Yeah, it wasn't the same though.
No,
I know what you mean though. Especially the spin and stiff arm. I mean, how many times when we first started playing those, did you dive on accident? You want to do a spin, but you dove. You're like, fuck. Then you get tackled.
Exactly.
Do something stupid like that.
So once they started enhancing it, Genesis and Super Nintendo are the ones who first started expanding the button sequences.
Because
the regular Nintendo had two buttons, right?
Yep.
But then the Super Nintendo.
But then the shoulder buttons came on.
Yeah, with the shoulder
buttons. But the shoulder buttons was a big difference.
Yeah. So it's all evolved. And like you can, when you take someone today and say, here, play this Atari 2600, who's only grown up in the world of today's Xboxes and PlayStations,
they're looking. They're like wait, where else?
This is it.
Yeah.
And it's understandable, but it's like, there's nothing special about it. It's literally just a button, and that's it. Yeah. It's either to jump, because the game only requires jumping, or it's to fire, because all you do is fire. I downloaded recently Contra, the original Contra.
Oh, Okay, wow.
For my PS5 as one of those arcade classic games.
Yeah, yeah.
My son and I were playing it together, and it's still such a fucking pain in the ass. And you're playing with these PS5 controllers, and you only have like two buttons you really need to use.
Yeah.
One to jump, one to shoot, and then the movement, and that's it.
Yeah.
And those games are fucking difficult. I mean, I remember they were difficult, but they were ridiculously difficult.
Not so much the pattern like Pac-Man, but you had to know, you had to be able to anticipate in that game.
Right.
Especially at the later stages, because it just goes so fucking fast. And one little mistake, and you're fucked. You're just screwed.
I agree. I mean, you go. I started that one. Feel free.
Now, I was going to say, one of the big ones I remember were, and not just, so your point is, yeah, the change in the configuration, but when you started seeing the processing power, especially of console games starting to increase, like Gran Turismo, when it first came out, it just wasn't the mechanics and all that stuff of it, but when you could actually start modifying the car, and it actually did things to the car like it would in real racing. Being somebody who enjoyed racing, you know, changing like the camber and all of this other stuff about the handling, suspension, and seeing it actually like truly affect the car. Like you could actually make it run just a lot better. And then, you know, so like the complicatedness of that, of actually half the game could be just setting up the car.
Right.
Getting it ready for a certain race. And then the other one for me is one of my favorite franchises of all time, which was Civilization. You know, just when you started seeing it, it just wasn't, I mean, we grew up doing Command and Conquer, which, yeah, I downloaded all of them.
I want to talk to you about that. By the way, let's not forget, SimCity was the first game we played that led to Civilization.
No, you're right. Probably SimCity was the first one because the effects of it, you know.
We'd be playing it, by the way. We worked together at Captron Gaming Store, and he'd be working and playing fucking SimCity
on a
little TV behind the counter. And people were coming up and going, hey, can you help me? He's so fucking focused on SimCity.
I was so focused on it. That was also, and I always blame it for that one semester in college, but I literally flunked out of a full semester of college because of that game. Because it was the first time I ever did the 5 more minutes.
Yeah.
Because it was always about time. You always had to wait for more money to build up, wait for something to happen for you to do things. And like, I was like, okay, I'll look. And then all of a sudden I look at the clock. It's 20 minutes later. I'm going to be late for that class. Okay. Well, I'll play for another 10 minutes and then I'll head out.
There you go.
40 minutes later, shit, I missed that class too. I literally flunked out of a semester of college because I couldn't disconnect myself from that game.
Yep. Well, and I have it. I have the game for Super Nintendo. So I have it here. And every once in a while, I'll put it on and try playing it.
Nice.
And it's still an addictive game. It's like, it's very simple. Like, to your point, I love Civ. I play that now because it's a much more evolved and advanced variation of that. And I know there's whatever the hell else. Sim people or whatever it is. I can't remember the name of that game now.
The Sims, yeah.
The Sims, thank you.
Yeah.
Which
people
I don't
bother. Huge into that.
I know. People love that because it's like their life away from life, right? Yeah. It's like the Oasis.
Life, whatever it's called.
From it Ready Player life? One. Yeah. It's the Oasis. There you go. Right.
They can be who they want to be.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
They can do whatever they want and meet with people out there and they're fine. But Red Alert.
Yeah, like there's one called, there's a game that I have on my phone called Theo Town. It's basically SimCity.
Oh, okay.
Theo that I play. So that's really good. But anyway, so you were going to say?
Well, I was going to say, coming back to your point, like you download Command & Conquer. So there's a great game from the early 90s. And so did you play it, though? I'm glad you downloaded it, but did you actually fucking play it?
No, not yet. I was going to do it later today.
Of course.
Dude, I've been playing redesigning my garage. I actually already ordered stuff to redesign my garage, to actually have a proper desk that raises and lowers, and actually have a workstation and actually already in order some mounts. Because I don't have a place. Like, I gave my youngest son my computer, and he upgraded a little bit, so it's running fine now, but he's using it. And then somehow my workspace, my wife took over, so I have no place to actually play. I have to do it at the dining room table on a, not that old, but a fairly old gaming laptop. So it'll definitely play Command & Conquer.
I was going to say, yeah, you won't have problems running that then. Yeah, so that'll be fine.
And some of the newer games, it'll still play some games.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah, I got to go. I got to I'm going to buy a PC. I'm not building it anymore. I'm tired of building them.
No. And your point, I used to do that back in the 80s. I'd have a case.
Yeah.
I'd buy the motherboard, the power supply, all the components that I needed, and always update it. Get more memory, then get another board later on. Because everything was constantly evolving, like it is today in PC. Things are always evolving, no video cards and whatnot. But building was fun when I was younger. I don't need to anymore.
Well, it's like the PC that we built like 5 years ago, the one that I gave to my youngest, my middle son also built basically like the same one like 4 months later. Almost exactly the same. I think the RAM he got actually was a higher frequency, but essentially the configuration was identical. But he's had problems with it ever since he's had it. And it's just been one thing after another. And we actually upgraded components to see if that would help it. No, he basically has a brand new PC at this point. The only thing that I think he hasn't changed is the motherboard.
Which does matter, because motherboards and frequencies and power supplies all play into that. So
yeah. And the thing is, troubleshooting it is just, unless you have spare parts to be able to swap things in and out, they're so hard to troubleshoot when all of a sudden you see this frame rate or you see something about heat and you do everything you can to work on it. And you're like, sometimes you get a bad part. So it's just what it is. But the nice thing about buying a pre-made is they have a warranty.
Yes.
So if it breaks, you return it.
Very true. Which is what I have. Also, have mine under the bed. I got mine through Best Buy. That way, I got their tech, whatever program to always allow me. So it helps. But the Command and Conquer. So I played Red Alert 2, which anybody knows in the past, the way the game, Len and I would play this game, which we played when we were at Sony PlayStation with a bunch of people too.
All right, yeah.
Which was a lot of fun. We played Command and Conquer.
Used to destroy people.
Yeah. And, but when Len and I would play against each other, he knew my tactics, I knew his. He knew I was going to focus purely on Air Force ability and like just bombard as many planes as I could over to him. So he'd build a shitload of these like flak cannon boats, which was ridiculous. It was slowing the game down at one point.
That was so awesome. 20 or 30. That's right. When it would start coming together.
Yeah.
And it was always the whole thing like, who got to point A first?
Yeah.
It was, did I have enough? Did he have enough? Who had that first advantage? Because once you, always a funny thing in that one is you see the avalanche. I always would call it like an avalanche happening because you start seeing it happen. And once a momentum happens from one side or the other, you're like, fuck. And like, you just can't build or react fast enough with 80 of these little boats. And then you highlight 20 of them and you think you clicked in the right spot, but then all of a sudden you didn't click off, and then you click and they're all going the wrong way. And you're like, where the fuck are you going? So, yeah, I still think that we got to get on Twitch and just start playing games together.
You keep saying that. You keep saying
I need to set up. It's on me.
It is on you. Mine's all set up. I can stream anytime.
That is fucking on me. I agree with you.
And that's why
I'm buying everything.
I
think that would actually be what I wanted. That would actually be fun to me, because then you'll really see our personalities come out.
Pretty much,
how big of a dick you can be, and how my Tourette's will come out. We definitely can't be safe for work,
dude.
It's bad enough on here, but you'll see me really.
Yeah, well, I think I'm very calm and collective when we play. Definitely now.
I know you are, and that's what pisses me off. You 100% antagonize me, and you know it.
Yeah, pretty much, dude. So to that point, so I was playing Red Alert 2. I picked the Russian side, which is the one that has all those flak cannons and whatnot.
Right, right.
And the blimps that they have, which are just bombing blimps that you send out there. Remember the
and then when they fall, you want to have enough so that when they drop, they can also destroy. Yeah.
Dude, that game is so OP with that side though. I just realized I was playing it first on the traditional U.S. side and all the planes and whatnot, and I would win, but it would take a longer time. The minute I switched to the other side, if I built first all my flak cannons and my boats just to protect first and foremost, I was fine from any air attacks. And then I just made like 7 of those blimps and just rolled through everyone super fast. I'm like, dude, that's ridiculous. Now, the computer, that strategy, I probably should get up like super hard, and it probably would have been smarter. But
no, with the U.S. or whatever. They didn't call it U.S. What was it? The Alliance?
No. In this one, Red Alert 2, it was by country. So you had U.S., Korea, Germany. Yeah, France, okay.
They actually didn't care about political correctness.
No. At that point, it was actual countries.
Yeah. With the U.S. one, you had to overwhelm with tanks.
Yeah.
Air just didn't work. You had to use ground stuff. And it would work, but I always felt it was just the people that can control it used to dominate with that. But it was because you had to, like, swarm with a bunch of different, like, you know, remember I used to be able to assign teams or whatever they would call it, where you would highlight a bunch, make that one. You had to be able to control all these different ones to be able to just swarm and overwhelm a base.
Yeah.
You know, and then because once you got in, it was over. You could just wreck the base, and there's nothing that you could do, but it was hard to coordinate. But yeah, those blimps were awesome.
Yeah.
So you'd have like, you just need to have like four together. So one or two would drop, and you just need that one to get over the defense, and then you would drop on it and destroy it.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You could take out the power, then drop their cannons down, then something could come power. In. Yeah.
The one I always wanted to do was use the spies.
Oh, yeah.
But I just, that was a little bit too precise for me.
You had to put more effort in. You'd have to get them over there quietly. Let them in.
Yeah. And then
like
dog
the dog instrument.
Up.
Yeah.
The blunt instrument. The dogs would jump on them. Because dogs are the only ones that could tell.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was fun.
Have a bunch of dogs. But yeah, that cool thing about those games, to your point, was like, it's fun because whether it's that, Age of Mythology or others, you know, they're fun because you're building
Warcraft, Warcraft.
Or Warcraft 2 was probably the best of the three in that style.
Oh, yeah.
I loved Warcraft 2. Warcraft 3 was okay. But Warcraft 2 is the best. That's what I was hoping they'd always remake Warcraft 2 or remaster, I guess, more specifically, but they haven't. Same with Command & Conquer. Red Alert 2 remaster, that would be fun, but it's not. So we'll see. But yeah, I mean, the games are fun. And if you ever get Twitch, we can definitely
set up
a streaming schedule.
Well, actually, what's funny is because I still do the work. Yes, my lord.
Yeah.
Warcraft. The workers. The actual workers.
Yeah. The grunts, yeah. Yes. Okay.
Well, then we'll have to, you know, then... But it's funny because that was like our first experience with PvP, you know, where it was network only. It was our equivalent to LAN parties, right? Where we at work at Sony, we would just play over the network. And the best part was we knew everybody in IT and they did the same thing. So we didn't have to worry. Being at a gaming company, it was easy. But remember, IT knew it and it was like, hey, you know, where do you have that stored? And we would like, you know, show them on the network where we had something stored, or they would do the same thing to us. So it was nice knowing the IT people, but also knowing that they were gamers as well.
Right. Well, we played the games, like those games, like Command & Conquer, more towards the end of the day, evening.
Oh, yeah.
So we'd be there at least a couple hours later after work playing. But there'd be a group of us. We'd have like 6-7 of us playing a single game against each other. Unfortunately, and like I said, you got to set rules with Len and I. Because if you don't, I mean, if there's no logical rule in place, we'll find a way to get past it. No one technically said you couldn't team up. So we both picked different types of teams.
I would pick U.S., you would pick the Soviet.
Or vice versa.
Yeah, whatever.
And then we'd be building it up, and suddenly we had ally. And then people would be like, you'd hear them yelling throughout the room.
Sucks.
Yeah. Those bastards just allied, and then we'd roll through them all and just destroy them all.
I would go like, you know, or even before we allied, I would go to try to knock out some of the defenses in one way, and then he would come in like with airplanes to be able to do something. And they're like, wait, they're working together. We're like, no, we're not allies.
Yeah.
But again, like you said, it was always allied. That loophole.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
that was always fun.
Those games were always fun. I mean, a smaller group, and I know there's the big online thing, but I mean, more the, when it was still early days, and it's fun for a lot of people today, and I know a lot of people play online and enjoy it, and I do too. But some of that was fun because you kept it closer with just your friends, or just people you even knew, just enough to enjoy it. So it's gotten so big now; you're playing with a lot of people, and then of course everything's pay to play, so nothing's simple anymore. Like you can't just unlock it.
I mean, I play League of Legends mainly on mobile, so Wild Rift. And at least it's not pay to play, because I mean, all the money they get off, I can't believe how much money people spend on skins. You know, it's basically like about $10
microtransactions, man. Those are the ways.
But at least it has no effect on the game.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing that you can do. Everybody starts out at the same level. I mean, you can buy any character you want from just playing the game, and it doesn't take that long. It's not, you know, one of those things. So, I mean, but that's probably the reason why League of Legends has been, you know, a top online game for 10 years, you know, because it's easy. Anybody can go in and play, and it's really just your skill level that determines really, you know, what happens.
Yeah, I only played it briefly myself, having to try it, and just never grasped.
It's a different type of game. I only play certain roles just because it's what I enjoy, and if, you know, if it changes too much, then I won't play it, but
Yeah,
those are fun, but I do miss the online strategy ones. And just, it was also the fact that we all knew each other, so our talking shit was, it was just talking shit to each other. But, right. You know, but we also knew that there weren't people throwing or playing a certain way, or you didn't have to worry about, wait, are they cheating? You know, you kind of had that aspect wasn't a part of the game.
Yeah.
You know, which kind of, it makes it hard to enjoy it when you see people doing that. Or even bad thing.
But the early days of online were pretty interesting too, because that was when they were still trying to figure out how to catch cheaters.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
People would be pulling the network cable just enough to lose connection so they could move to another spot, reconnect it. And because they didn't have a timeout concept back then, you could come back in. And there were games like Killzone. It's a great example. Fantastic game, by the way. Totally underrated for the PlayStation, for the PS2 originally. That was one of the first network games or online games.
Yeah.
Outside of SOCOM.
SOCOM. Yeah, that was a good game. It was good.
It was good for what it was at the time.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. I would just say it was good for the time.
I mean, games like Call of Duty are much better than that, obviously, today. But it was still a cool game at the time. But now for Killzone, like, we'd play against people, and suddenly you'd see the network, like, symbol pop up saying, oh, someone's cheating, they're pulling, and then they're suddenly behind you.
Yeah.
Because they only had, like, I think there was a timeout sequence, but you had like 5 seconds, which is more than enough time. People would do little tricks to figure out how to have the PlayStation 2 by them with their foot, like, slowly wiggling the network to pull it loose and then put it back in without really changing their control. So people were creative back then. And over time, obviously, there's still cheaters. People find hacks. A lot of it's sometimes development hacks that they just screwed up and didn't pay attention to. But
the thing is, get off my lawn, old man rant, but cheating in those type of games is just like, you're like, what is the point? I never understood guys who cheat like that. Huh?
They want to win.
Is it
adapting to the system and playing within the rest of what's allowed?
No, stop it. us doing unholy alliances.
That's not cheating.
That's not cheating.
Why is it unholy? Why is it unholy?
Because we knew what we were doing. We knew that.
Okay.
Let's just put it this way. When we were playing Command & Conquer, because we probably played it also more than anybody else did, we were the two best players, right?
Sure.
When the two best players team up, kind of like Durant going to the Warriors, it's just one of those where everybody's like, really? That's questionable. And also, we knew in the spirit of the game, it was just 5 or 6 guys playing against each other. We never really should have teamed up.
True.
We shouldn't have, but we did
it. Whatever, fuck that. It was fun.
But the thing is, we didn't do it to win. We did it because we thought it was funny.
Yeah. We weren't concerned about not winning, because that was never really a problem.
Yeah.
It was more around, and that's arrogant. Yeah, I get it. But the reality is that, to Len's point, we were the primary two who played it the most, so we were the best skilled. But you're right. It was just fun. We're like, dude, let's just do it for fun. Like, we don't care. Like, if they'd all allied, which would have been the smart move. None of them did, by the way. If they'd all allied and said, screw that, everybody allied together to take those two out, probably would have been a more difficult game.
That's why we did it. That we did it because we knew that in the end, it was just going to be you and I battling each other to see who won.
And it would take a long time.
Right.
We went back and forth for a while. What's the point?
That's what we're trying. We were doing it for the right reasons. Forget it. You're right. We weren't doing an unholy alliance. We were doing it to try to get them to... we were trying to be the evil empire for them to
You're giving them a common cause to
common
unite
cause. There you
and
go.
Join.
Yeah,
to, yes, yes.
To band together.
There and you so go. What does that show you? If you don't unite, you get obliterated.
Right. Yeah. So easy. We taught them valuable life lessons. You're right. There you go.
Did we though? Because they never learned.
They never learned.
Yeah.
Hopefully eventually they learned.
I don't know.
We had fun.
Yeah, exactly. It's a great game. We definitely have to see if we can get that online. It has online. I don't know. Similar like Age of Mythology, which we played together online. We should try and get that online.
Well, we got to make it a little more challenging than what we did. We did it with some of the cheats and everything. And that.
Yeah, that was fun. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was just screwing around.
We crashed it big time with all those cheats, too. Yeah. You got booted at one point.
Yeah.
I think it was just me and my son still going, and you were not. You were in the game.
And then I took over your bases. I don't know. We kept it going because you could just overwhelm the game.
Pretty much. Well, yeah. There's some cheats like the monkeys that my son James will like do 1,000 of them. And there's just a line of monkeys going throughout the game. It just slows the game down. Yeah. There's not much you can do. It's a lag.
Even it's funny because even with the computer that we have, it doesn't matter. The programming just can't handle it.
Exactly. It can't account for all that.
Much. Yeah. It's never built for that for some reason.
Yeah, which is odd. Really odd. I don't understand that. So
yeah, I just have to look at new games because I haven't played a lot of
dude, Helldivers 2.
That's okay. That's what I want to play. It sounds like democracy. What I want to do. Was that?
You got to save democracy. That's what Helldivers 2 is all about. Actually, it's literally Starship Troopers, for those who don't know.
That's what I've heard. No, that's what I've heard. It's like it's Starship Troopers in a video game.
Yeah.
But yeah, every time I see it, I'm like, I gotta actually see if this laptop can handle it. It might be able to handle it on all the lowest settings.
I thought you looked it up and said you couldn't do it. I think you looked it up.
I think you might have.
That's why you keep saying you need to get a new PC.
Yeah.
That's one of the driving factors.
That
game's
my oldest son wants to upgrade his PC now that he's working because he bought his current PC he bought like 2 years ago, but he wasn't after graduation when he wasn't working. And now it's funny, he's my oldest son is how do I put it nicely? He's funny.
Smartass?
He has money.
Smartass? Is he a smartass? No.
No, he's not a smartass. He's just he's way too laid back. He's way too easygoing. So like his PC that he got like 2 years ago was I would say a low mid-range PC at that time, right? So it was It was decent. But it was what he can afford at that time, and he was like, okay, I'll upgrade. But he's been working now for like a year. You know, he still lives at home. You know, he pays for his own stuff, but, you know, living at home, especially being an engineer, he has money in the bank. And I'm like, dude, you can afford a $2,000 computer. I'll buy, you know, not full price, but I'll buy your old one off of you. You just buy a new one. He's like, yeah, I really need to.
And he will eventually.
He will eventually. Just most likely when something happens.
Yeah, just not in a rush. Yeah, when the PC is no longer useful, he'll get a new one. And then you'll be like, well, it's pointless for me then.
No, I'll probably just be cheap and get that one. I always get the hand-me-downs. Think about it. What do I drive? I drive a 2001 Toyota Tundra. Everybody else has a newer car than me by like 10 years.
Yeah, but the other car that they drive is also your car.
Yeah, they're all my cars. I own 6 cars.
Right. So technically, they're just driving newer cars, but you still own them all.
Yeah, but what do I actually get into? I get into the oldest one with the most miles.
I get into the oldest one I have here that's not a classic car, to be specific.
I was going to say, you get into the oldest one, the T-Bird?
Well, no, because the T-Bird's in the bay right now.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I need to bring it back here. The Mustang.
Road trip.
Yes, if you're up for it, we can do it, but it's up to you. But the 66 Mustang is my oldest one here right now. Technically the one I drive is my 2004 Ford Ranger, my dad's old truck. So I use that. So a 20-year-old truck, basically, I'm driving right now. Which, by the way, is considered a classic car here in Vegas. So I can now get it past smogging after it hits when it's 20 years old. Actually, it's a 2005, so one more year. So next year, it'll be 20 years. And then I no longer need to smog it in the state of Nevada.
Somebody at the gym, he's a younger guy. He's probably like, you know, I think like 31, 32. But he was just saying that he just bought something. And I was like, and I saw him in the parking lot. And it was just funny because he was just like, you know, don't you want to get like a newer Tundra? I'm like, I'd like one. But I don't want to spend $1,000 a month on it.
Right.
I don't see. And again, I think maybe it's just also, again, our generation. We're kind of still stuck in that, especially with cars, I think. Because I only cars that ever leave my house are doing it like with a tow truck. I don't get rid of cars.
Run them into the ground.
I don't think a car.
You never technically will ever run a car into the ground.
True.
You just let it get to a point where you're like, fuck it, I don't want to keep dealing with it anymore.
I can't. Or yeah, it's just economically like my truck. I mean, I have no reason to get rid of it. Would I like a newer one? Would I like one that looks better or whatever? Yeah, I like it, but I'm not gonna spend the money. I'm too cheap. But it's also I also will sacrifice of reliability and all that for myself, but I won't do that like for my wife.
No, totally agree. Same way. I will always take the car that's the more fucked up one. Mm-hmm. And give the nicer one out every time. I don't have to worry about them getting into car. I don't care about myself getting into a situation with a car or something like that.
Yeah,
I've had plenty of times in my life. Blown rods, blown tires, you know, engine seizing up, whatever you want.
No brakes.
That's true.
That's just
I've had that as well because the solenoid cover wasn't closed correctly. So the brake fluid is splattered out. And so there were no brakes. You know, so stuff like that.
But it was funny when we were with my in-laws, they had this Mercedes, like the 320 Mercedes SUV that was just a piece of shit. It was one of the worst. First of all, like it had no power yet. You had to put premium unleaded in.
Mm.
I think it was like a 2002 or 2003, something like that. So it was old. But like when we were looking to get him a new car, I was like, you're getting a Toyota. Like Toyota, Honda, whatever. You're getting something that. So they got a RAV4, and he's really happy with it. But I'm like, no, you're getting something that I know is just going to run. That you don't have to take to a Mercedes dealer. Not saying you have to, but you know how they are. They run like shit if you don't actually treat them like a Mercedes.
Right.
And I think they're the most overrated cars that people have.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, the daily driver ones, just because. After like 3 years, they're the same prices as a Toyota. They depreciate so much.
True. But they do, depending on the miles. I will say this, because we're almost at time. Speaking of cars, just real quickly, I always think about what's the one, not the one car I wish I owned, but of the cars I've owned in my life, which is the one I wish I still had. And for me, that's easy. My 77 Camaro. I really do wish, and I'll be honest with you, every once in a while, I'll kind of look out there to see if there's a 77 Camaro.
Just because.
Potentially get it, and I'd have to paint it midnight blue again to really match up to what my original was. But it's I did like that car as much as interesting enough, when my dad got it for me when we were on vacation, I came home. He knew I wanted a car, so he found this on the cheap and got it for me. And this was like 87 or so. So the car was only 10 years old, and I was excited for it, but at the same time, I'm like, oh man, where's my 68 Camaro? It's just greedy fuck. But it was a great car. I loved it. And, you know, my daughter was born, and that's eventually what led me to moving into something else because it just wasn't practical at that point, so I had to sell it off.
Getting the car seat in the back of that car was not the easiest.
No, and the car seat for that one, especially as a baby, the carrier one, always had in the front. So, is there any car that you used to own that you wish you'd kept?
Yeah. I had a nice car. Motorcycles, yes. Cars, no.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's true.
Maybe the only one that I really, the one that I'm most fond about, and that is one that, like, I remember my Mitsubishi Mighty Max?
Yeah.
The little blue pickup?
I probably would have got that
one.
Yeah, dude.
Just because it would have been just one of those ones that you just keep forever.
Yeah. Well, you used to put a shell on top, too, so you could kind of.
So that when I was drunk, I would sleep in the back instead of drunk driving.
Well, and also, when we drove to the city with the guys, a bunch of us get in the back.
Remember when you could do that?
Oh, yeah. This is before seatbelt laws were really required.
Where were we going at in San Francisco usually?
We're going to strip clubs, dude. I'm not going to lie. Right? We're going to strip clubs. Okay.
Our wives know it.
Yeah, they know.
Your daughter
knew where we were going. Not like we were holding it. So,
yeah.
But yeah, we do that. Yeah. There were some good ones. The white truck you borrowed from the when you worked for that one company.
Yeah, I worked for an electrician.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun. We did some crazy stuff with that out in the mall parking lots back in the day, too.
Remember, I almost tipped it over at the on-ramp.
Yeah, that was the one that almost killed us both.
We would have died because actually we had our friend Bill from high school in the center seat.
That's right. I forgot.
Yeah, we all would have died. It was the mid late 80s Chevy standard.
It was like 89, something
like that. Yeah. Standard full size quarter ton bench seat. You know, it's what pickups used to be. Let's just put it that way. It was like the pickups that you would get like for nothing because it was just the bench seat, single row. That's what I'm trying to think of, like single row, just standard cab, a regular cab, bare bones, whatever. Yeah, if I would have flipped that over, we would have died because the top would have crushed. And there was like no safety to it. We would have died.
Yeah, but we did. And here we are to talk about it.
Well, here we are.
To talk about your shitty driving skills. I agree.
No.
Oh, it was shitty driving skills by you.
Did we die? Did you ever die?
We all leave.
How many accidents? How many accidents? Actually, with somebody else.
You mean accidents with,
did I actually get into it with the car? Did I ever get into an accident going up into a parking lot because I was on the wrong side of the street?
I was not on the wrong side of the street.
I've only gotten into where I stepped into another car two times, and each of them were my fault, but it's not the point.
All I know is that Mustang 2 took it like a champ. Unfortunately, it was a goner at that point.
Yeah.
But it took on that like 68 Nova, I think it was.
Yeah, something like that.
And survived. Survived enough. And I wasn't in the wrong. So fuck you. I blame the school for having shitty drawn lines that no one could see. Not that anybody cared.
There were no drawn lines. The lines were drawn when the school was first built, and they never redid them.
And it's not like anybody who drove around there cared. Yeah. I was slightly off. She was coming the wrong way, too. So it didn't really matter. It was bound.
No, it was her fault. I always say it was, you know, he wasn't. If he was, he was like...
I was barely, not even all of the way. I was barely halfway on the line.
And yeah, at the most. Because you saw it. Because I remember seeing the tire marks.
Yeah.
And your tire marks.
Remember when it happened. I didn't have my seatbelt.
Your tire marks were fucking all the way into your lane. Like, not even a little bit. She was in your lane.
Yeah. When I didn't have my seatbelt on. So I'm slowly going, grab it and then slowly roll and put it on. Because Steve's like, you didn't wear your seatbelt? Yeah, I do. I got it on.
Of course. Who doesn't wear the seatbelt?
Yeah. I'd shown up to school because it was one of those days. It was senior year, I think it was, or junior year.
Yeah. No, I think it was senior year.
I came in. It was one of those late class days where I could come in at like 10, but that's perfect sunlight at that point in time on this one hill that we come up. It hit me clear as day. Yeah. So I didn't have a good vision. I probably would have seen her a bit more on that one, would have avoided it, but I couldn't. And then we just hit. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Cool.
But fun times. Fun times.
Good times.
Well, great. Well, I hope everybody enjoyed our little rant down. Memory-ish lane a little memory-ish bit there. Lane. Yeah. Then so you need to jump on, get a Twitch account going, get a PC.
I'll see with this game. Look, at least with this one, maybe I'll try to figure out what to do with this one, and we can just play Command & Conquer and those older games.
Sure. I'm sure that'll grab some people.
There's so much on Steam that, we can just play older games.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll do SimCity and see how that goes.
True.
No, we'll see.
That'll bore people. We gotta have action, something that gets people at least interested.
Yeah, SimCity won't do it. Exactly. It had to be, we'll figure out something.
We can be the Gen X guys jumping into games younger kids play.
Yeah.
And just
that'll be fun.
We'll be the get off the grass type guys, get off the lawn guys.
Yeah.
Nice.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, hey, thanks again, everyone, for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. Appreciate it as always for those who follow. And have a good week, and we'll be back next week.
Yeah. Have a good week. See you guys.